One day I'll learn the name of the podcast.
All right, let's do this. I know we're recording. Mike's text in there. He's going to give me the thumbs up because it gives me so much confidence when I see that little hand pop up.
It's important affirmation.
It is. It's basically like an I love you from the director's room there.
Aww.
Hey, guys. Welcome into another episode of Can I Steal You for a Second? We are officially dealing with the aftermath of Peter's season, post-bachelor life.
We're in a post-bachelor world now. Well, not really, temporarily.
It's never a post-bachelor world, which is kind of what I want to talk about today.
Yeah.
We have the opportunity to talk with Alex Stern, who is a casting producer for Unscripted Television. But before we get to her interview, something that I know you and I are really interested in is this pseudo-celebrity, I would say even real celebrity, for some of the contestants that are involved in Bachelor Nation and how their Instagram following just explodes.
Absolutely.
Once you get that taste of, you know, bachelor life, you're set. You can do the gummies. You can do the fit tea. Like, your opportunity is to, you know, make a living through your social media explodes. And I know, Shay, that you have some of the numbers here pulled from some of Peter's season. And it blew my – to see the concrete numbers blew my mind.
The jumps are absurd. But before we get into that, I do want to say I feel like the women get a little bit of a tough rap here. And, like, maybe this is just, you know, reality in the world that we live in. But I feel like contestants on The Bachelor get hit with the, like, you're just here for the Instagram followers more than men on The Bachelorette do. And, like, the spawn con may be different, but if we're coming at people for their motivations, I feel like we should be equal opportunity here.
Mm-hmm.
Men want to be influencers as bad as women do. But any case.
It's a little easier, a little less Facetune going on.
Right, yeah.
Speculation, of course, on my part.
Yeah,
but
I feel like there are different values or assets or whatever, but, you know, equally upsetting when you get down to it. Anyways, numbers, though. The jumps that some of these women had and not even making it that far on the season are absurd, especially as someone who has never – could not tell you how many followers I have, probably very few. But also, like, it's not something that I think about daily. Madison, maybe unsurprisingly and potentially also indicative of the actual target audience of The Bachelor, had the highest growth by far. She has, before the finale, she was posting 1.3 million followers, which, for some perspective, is the number of followers that Peter had when he started the season of The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. So she is in prime, like, Bachelor Nation top tier follower, like, domination right now.
Yeah, well,
just
also
absurd.
Like, and, like, for the creepy record, you know, we were like, let's do a little experiment.
Yeah.
Let's see. So we started with the numbers that these contestants had on January 1st
yes.
of 2020. And Madison only had 36 points only.
Only.
I say that as someone who has, like, yet to hit, like, 800.
Peasant number of 36.
She only had 36.6 thousand followers. And we tracked it until, you know, right before the Tuesday finale, mm-hmm. which she clocked in at 1.3 million, like you yeah. said. And that is, she basically gained a million followers over the span of what, a couple months?
Yeah.
Insane numbers.
And for better or worse, read into what you will, but Hannah Ann, who is also there, the final two.
Read,
arguably,
so
she was
savage.
The final
Don't
one.
Walk away from that comment. Read into that what you will. Okay, Shay. Okay.
I mean, I have been team Hannah Ann since the jump, but she had 83 to begin with, 83,000, and was at 760,000 at the end, which, again, we throw these numbers out there like we can pass judgment on them when they're not absurd followings. But it's just, like, you see Madison's 1.3, and I just want to underscore that, like, the degree to which that is exceptional is, like, even compared to her second, her co-finalist, like, she is blowing. She has, like, what is the math there?
Math is
500,000 more followers than the yeah. next person on that season. That is insane.
Yeah, that's not pennies there.
Yeah. But you don't even have to make it to the final two,
no.
do you?
No, you don't. And that's what blows my mind is that, like, I'm seriously considering, and this is something we talked to Alex about, which we'll get to her interview later, is when you're casting these shows, you know, it's not just a matter of clout and feeling good about yourself and getting the likes. Like, these are lucrative business deals that people make a living from when you have this kind of following. when you're going through the casting process, how do you truly know that you're casting people that will make for good TV and be there for, as everyone loves to say, the right reasons?
Yeah.
But as someone who doesn't have this kind of following, nor makes that kind of money from every Instagram post, you know, I have to wonder, they all know what they're signing up for. This is a nice little incentive for exploiting yourself on national television.
Oh, who's using the read into what you will now? You're saying exploiting.
It is. I would. You could not pay me all the money in the world. Maybe you could. I don't know. Put a number out there. But
I feel like Kelly's numbers are particularly interesting because she was a lawyer before this show.
Which traditionally they make pretty good money.
Well, they make pretty good money. But beyond that, she's not like McKenna was. I believe like a blogger. I think Kelsey was somewhat in that field as well. So like people that you would expect to have followings and whose careers are, I don't want to say legitimately, but I'm blanking out on another word, like genuinely tied to your social media performances. To be an excellent lawyer and to gain more clients as a lawyer, no one's really looking at your Instagram followers. But Kelly resonated immensely with the Bachelor audience and had a gain of over 300,000 followers. She reached the finale with 402,000, having started with 13. So that really jumped out at me. But then you look at Kelsey, and she ended up with fewer total followers at the end than Kelly, but also started from a similar point. It's just, it's, I don't know, you just look at these numbers, and they're such, they're full-digit gross. Like, these women are going from, like, low two digits to three digits. And it's like, oh, my God. I guess... No, like five and six.
It's still a big jump. Math is hard for both of us.
I was assuming that the thousand, like those extra three digits on the end, were just included. I was looking at K's.
I hate not giving credit where credit is due, but of course I don't remember who tweeted this. But someone was like, you know, like blah, 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 McKenna, after she quoted her sixth TJ Maxx mug. And that's how I felt about McKenna all season, is that she's constantly giving these like cliche, tacky, like life quotes and cliches and these winding stories that no one asked for, but are very typical of someone that maintains like that blogger lifestyle.
Yeah.
They're never like one word answer. Like Kendall Jenner, she'll Instagram something and the caption is like nachos. And it's like her in a bikini and she like looks incredible and it does insane numbers. But these women who make careers of becoming like lifestyle bloggers and influencers, they always post these long winding captions about like living your best life and chasing after your dreams and all this stuff. And why I really appreciated Kelly this season is because she was like a breath of fresh air on the show. Mm-hmm. She was like, this show's weird and I'm just kind of like trying to embrace the experience. Which speaks to, I think, most people watching the show.
It does, and it's the absolute tough reality of, I guess, you know.
But she did the best.
In this climate that she has twice as many followers as McKenna does now. It's like, I mean, it's what the people want. Like,
okay,
want
that's what I want to ask
air. You want interesting people and people that aren't that like, you don't want the TJ Maxx human being. You want TJ Maxx,
nice, but
it's like the live, laugh, loving of it all. Like,
Well, that's what I want to know. Like, when you are watching the show, I think we went through this phase of all of a sudden Instagram exploded and this influencer was not a word that existed, you know, 10 years ago. That was not a thing.
Right.
And now it's something everyone knows what it means. Everyone knows that you can make like a full-time living off of that. But there's so many, it's so saturated of a market.
Yeah.
So when McKenna is 22 years old coming on the show, it's hard for me as someone that watches the show to be like, you're here, quote, for the right reasons. Whereas someone like Kelly, who I feel like identifies with most of the audience, like, yeah, this show's kind of strange. And I'm just trying to, like, see if I vibe with it. And Peter seems like a cool dude. I almost feel like on a social media perspective, we're shifting from this hyper-calculated, edited version of reality. And we're slowly circling back to the Kellys of the world where we appreciate that organic persona. These are the thoughts that, like, they're like shower thoughts keeping me up at night.
Yeah, I mean, I am almost too cynical for that.
Keep me honest,
because,
Shay.
Like,
thank you. Keep me honest. I live in La La Land.
Into like organic or whatever. It's like, what is organic on social media?
Don't do that
is
to me.
Anything? Like, I just no, but I do think there's something interesting when, especially with someone like McKenna, or I think Kelsey too, because I don't want to throw this all on McKenna, but when it's more transparent, where it's like, I think it's fair to say that most of these women went on the show with at least some consideration of the social media fame implications of it, because I think that's a con if you don't go. I think a reason not to go on the show is that you don't want that attention. Like, I don't think any reasonable or rational woman or man is signing up for this without even considering it, because it's a factor regardless. So I don't want to hate too hard on influencers, professional influencers or professional people who make their living off of their personal brands, because I mean, if that's your chosen career path, like, this is an excellent strategy to that. But yeah, I mean, I think there's something TV-wise that obviously resonates more with a Kelly. And I think that's almost, you saw that with Hannah Ann and Madison, where like Madison was so polished. And Hannah Ann probably was too, but there was something about her that's just like, I felt like the refrain we kept using was like kept it real. Like, she was always real with Peter. She was always real with like how she felt, and like real and aware of the scenario that she was in, where in varying degrees, a lot of the women that we see aren't. But then, of course, the counterpoint to that, you have McKenna on one end, and it's like, oh, she didn't quite resonate. Kelly really did. And then you see Madison has 1.3 million followers. That's resonating with someone.
It's resonating. And, I don't mean to shit on McKenna in the way that I have, because there is something about that sells. She's out on TikTok dancing with her girlfriends. And, like,
yeah.
there's a part of everyone that,
get
like...
Get that SmonCon.
Right. Yeah, like, she is doing it. And there's part of me that I see myself in McKenna. She's out there having fun. But I think there is a certain relatable aspect that you need to cast into your shows. And that's what we tried to understand when we talked to Alex Stern, because she's meeting these people before they have that pseudo celebrity, before they have this Instagram following, before their numbers inflate from, a couple thousand to like a couple million.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you know when you're sitting in a dark room and this person's chilling there for the first time, what questions do you ask them? How do you pick their brain? It's like dating, in a sense, right? Yeah. There in the casting room.
I mean, we see those women walk out of the limos that first night, or you turn on any reality show and you look at the lineup and you think, because so many of us, veteran reality TV watchers or not, are a little bit cynical about TV and entertainment days. And it's like, you're looking for characters. You're looking for who's the villain this season, who's the hero, who's the, easy contender, like, especially if you play like Bachelor Fantasy or anything like that. Like, that's the whole, it's become part of the culture. So I think we think we're smarter about casting and all that than perhaps we are. And getting to talk to an actual casting director, someone that works on these shows and actually can tell us, like, oh yeah, this is what we look for, this is what we want. No, we don't think about that. Like, it was illuminating.
Yeah, I think, I love to sit here on my high horse and be like, McKenna's fake and she's calculated, but she's not. Like, she is a part of our societal structure in my Instagram feed just as much as, like, the girls that I went to high school with that remind me of Kelly, that, like, quote, unquote, keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
And you need all of that, because at the end of the day, it's no secret, as we've recorded our podcast all season, I'm like, the show was boring. It was a boring episode. I always want the drama and the chaos and someone that's going to like throw hands in the mansion. But I think that at the end of the day, what resonates is that these people are real people who left their personal lives to adapt to this national hyper-edited production of a television series. So yeah. I think Alex, this interview, as you guys will hear, she provided some insight and like kept it real with us. And, to sit there and cast judgment as a career in what's going to make for good TV, what people are going to connect to. I really enjoyed talking to her. Shay, before we cut to the interview, was there anything that Alex said, don't give too much away, that really resonated with you? Or perhaps what was your favorite little tidbit that she shared with us?
This is going to sound, I've been spending most of this chat talking about my cynicism, and so this is going to sound out of character, but there was something really pure about what she said about what they look for contestants, and she articulates it better than I could, but the gist is somewhat like, we're looking for someone who's willing to open themselves up to the experience, and that is the single most important thing. And like I said, I'm a true cynic about people that choose to go on reality shows, and like, I don't know.
Because the numbers show. Like, why would I trust that anyone wants to be on this television
show?
Right,
and like, even if you're looking for love or things like that, mm-hmm. it's like, part of me is just always going to think like, yeah, but like, what's the
business opportunity?
There?
Yeah.
And I think that reminder that may be a factor of it too, but the ultimate like unifying element is this openness and this enthusiasm that kind of made me like, I don't know, feel better about the whole endeavor.
It made you feel better about reality television.
It did. It made me feel better about MTV.
Theme of our little chat here, feel better about it all, because we all consume it. We all love it. We love to act like we're above it. Everyone loves reality TV. So to speak with someone who's, you know, out there in the trenches.
And making, she loves it too.
She loves it. And I think that's really clear in this interview. So before we talk too much about it and give anything away, right. I'm going to pass it off to the interview. I think you guys will really like it. We're on the phone with Alex Stern, who is a casting producer for Unscripted Television. For those of you who have listened along all season, we have dove into The Bachelor. We were obsessed with Love is Blind. And we've really become intrigued with what goes on behind the scenes. How do these people go from ordinary, everyday life to celebrities, essentially, with the Instagram following and this national platform? And we want to pick the brain of someone who sees it from the start. So, Alex, let's start from the beginning here. How did you become this casting producer?
Well, first, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I get this question a lot, all the time. How did I get into this? There's not really schooling. You don't go to college to become an unscripted casting producer. That doesn't exist. So you just kind of fall into it. I happened to be working with dogs at the time, because who doesn't love a dog? And a friend of mine got sick, and he was working for a casting director in town. And he said, I cannot make all these phone calls. Can you help me? My boss said he would pay you for the day just to work from home and make these phone calls. And I was like, yeah, sure. That sounds amazing. I can talk to people all the time, no matter what. And so I worked for this guy all day, never met him, didn't even know him. And towards the end of the day, my friend said, you know, he has a dog. She's big and she's black and brown. And I was like, cool, man. That's a great story. And then he said, her name is Digit. And then it clicked. Not only did I know the guy that I had been working for all day, but I had been picking up his dog at his home for the last 3 years. So I guess I did a good job. The same casting director hired me after that. And 8 years later, I'm still doing the same thing.
Were you a fan of unscripted TV and reality shows growing up?
Yes, I was stone cold obsessed. I come from the era of, you know, I Love Money and Rock of Love and Flavor of Love and I Love New York. Like, that was like Tiffany New York Pollard, call me. She is my idol. Like, she could do anything. She could do no wrong. So, I mean, since the beginning, of course, Real World and Road Rules, like, yes, I have always, always been a huge fan of Unscripted.
That's awesome.
So when you bring up those shows, to me, that is like the root of reality television, mm-hmm. absolute unscripted chaos. We were watching, you know, The Bachelor last week, and it just felt a little boring when you grow up with, you know, cat fights in the house and, you know, the real world and seeing these people. What goes into thinking you can get someone from their normal, say, 9-to-5 job? What do you see in a person to take them from their everyday life and throw them into that kind of chaotic, televised environment?
Well, of course, their willingness to go outside their comfort zone. If somebody sits at a 9-to-5 desk job all week, Monday through Friday, they've got to be kind of willing to break out of that box and go do something that they normally wouldn't do. But we love people who are attorneys, who are real estate agents, who have that 9-to-5 job and lifestyle, although real estate agents work, I think, 24/7. But we are looking for regular people with regular jobs who kind of are interesting. That's all it really is people who are interesting, but also ordinary at the same time. So we look for people who just kind of like are able to say, you know what, I need to do something else, and I'm willing to do something else.
How conscious are you of sort of identifying or being able to see somebody that's good TV? So maybe they're a little messier than someone that, I don't know, might fit the actual ask, but you can kind of say, like that's going to be good drama. Is that something you weigh heavily?
I have to tell you, every single person, whether they show it or not, has that inner messy. And it's just it's the situations that they're put in. I mean, of course, some people, what we look for in casting is the people who are like willing to kind of go that extra mile to really tell you who they are. The people who are not ashamed to tell you their worst dating experience. The people who are not ashamed to tell you how many sexual partners they've had. And that's obviously an extreme because I don't ask that question frequently. But it's the kind of unabashed, unashamed people that we know are not going to be afraid to show the world who they are. But as far as like people getting messy, like you put alcohol and you put emotions on the line and anybody is going to tell you who they are and they're going to be messy.
I feel like a little targeted here. I'm like, oh, I'm a private person. But like you said, you put alcohol on the right person. They're an open book. When you think of some of the shows that you've been on, for our listeners, can you rattle off a few of those shows and perhaps one of your favorites?
Ooh, yeah, sure. So I have done the trifecta of CBS, which would be, of course, Survivor, The Amazing Race, and Big Brother. I have cast for Top Chef. I have cast for Are You the One, Dating Naked, and a whole bunch of Food Network shows. It kind of runs the gamut as far as food shows, dating shows, house reality shows. But I have done quite a few of those dating shows that I know everybody's like, how the hell do you find these people?
What has been the most challenging one to cast?
I mean, honestly, gosh, Dating Naked, I cast two seasons. I cast two seasons of Dating Naked, and I don't know, can we curse on this podcast? Is this one of those?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so receiving dick pics before 9 a.m. was probably the best and worst thing about that job, because I got to judge penises all day, every day, but, like, got paid for it. So Dating Naked was super, super difficult, but also extremely, extremely fun. We had to convince people to be naked on television and like date and get drunk and get messy. It was like The Bachelor on steroids. It was insane.
Please tell me you had a work phone when this was going on. You weren't like out to dinner with your friends and it's just like bing, 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 bing on your personal.
When you're in casting, Google voice numbers are your best friend. So to answer your question, it was technically a work phone, but it was definitely connected to my cell phone.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
So besides dick pics, what's the biggest difference about casting for a dating show versus, you know, a Survivor or an Amazing Race?
I think for a dating show, you have to, again, look for those people that are kind of willing to open themselves up to you. And of course, people who are single, because you'd be really scared about the amount of people that call me and say, no, my boyfriend said it was fine. I could do this. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? You have to be single. You have to be willing to do it. And of course, we're looking for people that you want to date, and by you I mean anybody. So you have to be the person that like anybody would swipe right to on Tinder or Bumble or Hinge. So we're looking for that universally kind of catch that people want to see, no matter what that is, and different types of those kinds of people.
And when you say sort of that universal appeal, that universal swipe, how has then sort of Hollywood's increased attention to diversity and representation affected how you cast dating shows?
So first I have to say, like, going into reality TV, I was actually, this was 8 years ago, I was so excited and also surprised at how much diversity came into play with what we do. From the beginning, every show that I worked on, diversity had always been number one. And as time has passed, it's become even more important as the conversation about diversity has come into play. So if anything, it's just gotten better and better. And we can only go up from here. Like, trust me, like, I want to get to a place where diversity is not only a conversation, but it's not just half the cast is diverse. I want to get to a place where more than half the cast is diverse. And I think that Unscripted TV is going to continue to have that conversation and continue to become educated, because it really is super important for people to watch TV and say, hey, that looks like me.
That's awesome. And we had sort of talked a little bit through email. I think one of the coolest and still messiest examples of that recently was the queer season of Are You the One? And I love Are You the One. It might be my favorite dating show. And I know you said you didn't work on that, but can you tell us a little bit about what it was like working on that show?
Yeah, so I worked on season 5 of Are You the One, and it was such an amazing experience, and I'm so proud to be part of the family that kind of morphed into this fluid season that just kind of aired within the last year. I'm also a huge fan, and can I just say, like, I was watching it, you know, and I'm in my 30s now. I would never be on Are You the One, because it's you know, early 20s, and the kids that are drinking, getting wasted and hooking up, and like, that's my former life, which is totally fine. But I was just so thrilled to see how many people were opening, you know, their minds up to that and accepting that season with open arms. And I had the hugest crushes on Jenna and Kai and Carrie, and I was like, my little like pseudo lesbian bisexual was coming out, and I was like very excited about it. And it's just like such a pleasure to see that kind of, you know, TV is opening themselves up to that. And I hope it does continue to go that way, because everybody loved it. There was nothing not to love about that season.
Yeah. Kai was an all time reality TV personality. Gotta get him casted and everything.
I was like, I am very attracted to this man, and he's A, like 10 years younger than me, and B, like, I don't even know what's happening right now, but I was like, yeah, like, hook it up.
Going off of that, have you ever been casting someone and you feel your own kind of like personal interest or bias, maybe someone's winning you over, but your coworkers or your peers aren't as sold?
Oh, yeah, this happens all the time. Actually, in the office last week, one of my coworkers was like, oh, I just interviewed. And this is for a baking show, by the way. We still have crushes on people that are, like, not on dating shows. My coworker was like, this guy's so hot. He's going to be the hot guy of our season. And I was like, oh, like, let me take a look. Like, I'm kind of like the dating show expert here. And I was like, girl, no. I was like, the hot guy's got to be universally hot, not just like somebody you'd go on a date with. And she was like, no, I think he's super, super cute. And I'm like, no, he's cute, but he's not like the cute guy. And so it definitely does happen where like you get attracted personally to these people, but it's not necessarily what we'd be looking for a TV sense. But that's fine too. I mean, I also have friends that have met people through the casting process and dated them. But they were never on the show. So if they want to go date someone who's not going to be on the show, like, it's like your own personal matchmaker.
I have good news and bad news. You're not on the show, but
can I take you out sometime?
But you could buy me a drink. Yeah.
Something we've been talking on the podcast lately, especially we've been watching The Bachelor all season, which we see these women go from, you know, 5,000 Instagram followers to a million. Have you seen how social media has changed the landscape of reality TV?
Oh, absolutely. And everybody always says, like, do I have to have an Instagram to get on the show? And like the short answer and the easy answer is like, not really, but it's so helpful for us as casting producers and casting directors. If you do have an Instagram, even if it's just 500 followers, so we could see your life. And obviously somebody who's like, oh, but my Instagram is on private, my first question is, then how do you think you're going to be on a show that's watched by millions of people if you can't even share your life with the few that follow you? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. Like, I want you to be on social media, but I don't want you to go on a show because you want to be on social media. You know, you really need to you know, get your spidey senses tingling to the people who just want to be on TV to get famous.
And I think that's where I'm a little callous watching The Bachelor these days.
A little cynical.
A little cynical, because I do feel like, you know, some of these women, they're 22 years old. Are you really looking for marriage? Are you there for the right reasons? What triggers your spidey sense when you kind of get that vibe?
some people are pretty, you know, clear about it, and they don't know that that's like a super, super big red flag and turn off to us. Some people are like, I'm like, what's your, one of the biggest questions is, what's your motivation for wanting to do this show? And we're looking, you know, for the answer of like, you know, I've tried everything. I've tried dating. My mom's hooked me up. I've been on Tinder. I've been on this. Like, I go to meetings, whatever, whatever. I go to therapy to, like, find my inner self. And I'm just ready to, like, find somebody who is my match. And I'm hoping that this is kind of the next thing. Like, that's the answer. But sometimes people get a little too comfortable and they say that. And then they're like, plus, I want to be Instagram famous. And I'm like, ha, ha, ha.
You're like, oh, my God, same. Yeah. How about cross that name right off your list? What are some of the other questions that you ask potential candidates?
For dating shows, we always want to ask people what, of course, what they're looking for, what their type is. And that's usually kind of that universal answer of for men, if they want like a, over 6 feet, sorry guys who are not, over 6 feet, good job, good family life, you know, respects women, that kind of stuff. And then for women, it's of course good family life, whether religion plays a part, and then of course the, you know, everlasting question of blondes or brunettes, you know, boobs or butt, so kind of stuff like that. But then, you know, we ask them about their worst dating story, the most romantic thing anyone's ever done for them. And honestly, I could ask them what kind of sandwich they like, and it's the way you answer it that kind of clues me into if you're going to be good on TV. I don't really care. I mean, of course, we want to know what you like in a man or a woman, but I just want to hear that you're a storyteller. I want to hear that you can speak.
Have you ever regretted anyone that you cast?
Ah. I saw that question in the email yesterday. No, because everybody that I do cast goes through so many layers of this, you know, of this process. And the ultimate decision is with the network and not with me. So anybody that has gone through me, which I kind of call the casting people, the gatekeepers to the casting process, they have to get through me to get to the network. But anybody that gets on gets network approval, and I can never, you know, suspect or tell what somebody's going to do once they're on the show and once they're actually put into those situations. So even if I'm watching one of the shows that I've cast and somebody is like a total asshole, I'm like, man, like, I didn't know that, but cool. Like that, I can't speak for those people. And that has happened. I've been like, you know, kind of hung my head and like, you know, smacked my forehead a couple of times. But again, that's their journey. And at the end of the day, they still, you know, really love the experience afterwards. So no, I don't really regret anybody I've cast, but I've done a lot of forehead slaps.
On the opposite end of that, is there anyone that you've casted that you were really proud of?
Oh my God, of course. I'm proud of, in casting, we call them our babies. When we, like, when we find them and we interview them and then we, like, you know, hold their hand through the process and, like, answer all their questions and their fears and kind of calm their nerves, like, they become, like, your children. And then, of course, you watch them on Big Brother and they're, like, having sex in the house and you're like, what is happening? What? Why is my child doing this? But yes, I mean, we're proud of all of them who make the show. But, like, Joe Flam, who was on Top Chef the season I worked on, he won it. Casey Clark, who was on the season of Big Brother 20 that I was casting, she won it. Elena Davis was on season 19. She has her own podcast now. She's gone on to do other things. Those are some of the people that I've put on these shows. I'm like, I am so proud of them every single day. And even the ones that, like, don't remain in the spotlight, that just go back to their, like, everyday work life, I'm like, hell yeah, that's fucking cool too. Like, good for you. You did your thing on TV. You were remembered for what you're remembered for. And then you go back to your regular life. And I think that's super cool too.
I'm almost impressed that anyone would be able to just, you know, like, go on reality television, become a face on national TV, and then just go to work after a couple of weeks off. Like, good for you. Yeah, like, hey guys, I'm back.
Yeah, it's super cool. I'm always really impressed with those people. And then they're not selling, like, the teeth whitening strips or, like, the face moisturizer or whatever the hell they sell on Instagram.
Yeah, like, teeth. Yeah, none of the government-approved products that they push on Instagram.
So I have also been really into this season that just started of Survivor, and that's obviously a show that you worked on.
Yeah.
And like this season, like their whole theme is like winners at war, and the entire cast is winners and the people that have previously been on the show. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about how, and I think we see it sort of across the unscripted landscape of sort of not reusing, but having previous contestants come back and sort of reprise their roles, as it were. How has that kind of affected the casting pool when you're looking at not just unknowns?
Well, I will say I'm a huge Survivor fan on top of working on it. So I'm so stoked on this season. It's been so exciting to watch. As a casting producer, like, you never want to be working on a show and then all of a sudden hear whispers of them bringing cast members back, because then you're like, shit, like, am I going to lose my job? And like, we're all freelance. So if you have an all-star season or a winners at war season, like, I'm out of the job. Like, sure, I'm super excited to watch it, but like, I got to go look for something else now. But it's super exciting because the game of Survivor has changed so much over 40 seasons. So to watch somebody like Boston Rob and Yule and Parvati come back to play with these like newbies like Adam and Nick and Sarah, I mean, it is like super, super cool just to watch how the game has evolved and like how they find idols and how they use idols and this new currency that they're using with the coins. And I just think that I'm here for it. Like, I might be out of the job, but like, keep bringing people back, because it's so, so cool to see the game evolving and how people adapt to it now.
Yeah. And speaking of how the game has evolved, I think another thing that we've seen with Survivor, you know, over their 40 seasons is that people now very sort of openly talk about like having studied the game and being like totally super aware versus people that just sort of know the concept in the early seasons and thought it would be a fun thing to do. So how, when you were casting Survivor, had you seen sort of the contestants or the applicants, I guess is the word, change?
I'll say for Survivor, like, they love the super fans. Like, Jeff Probst is so super involved. He doesn't even want to look at anybody who's never seen the show. which is amazing. But back in the day, like, there was not, the super fan kind of didn't exist until more recently. So it's really cool to see people study the show. I mean, does it give them an advantage? Like, somebody like Adam playing against somebody like Boston Rob, like, I don't know, you'd have to weigh it out, because Boston Rob is obviously like an icon, and like, I don't know, I can't imagine him not winning, but it's definitely a study. Like, they call themselves students of the game, and it's a really interesting, you know, new factor that's been thrown into it. For me as a casting producer, does that like entice me, and do I get like super excited when somebody like knows everything? Yeah, but then they have to implement it. You could study something, you know, ad nauseum until the day you die, but you have to have that inherent ability as well. Like, nobody is just like a student of the game and then that means that they're great at Survivor. Like, there's kind of that it factor, which is something that we look for too, that little something else that you can't put your finger on that says, oh, you're going to be really, really badass at this game. It's not just studying.
Yeah. Before we let you go here, we have spent a lot of time kind of being nostalgic and looking back at some of the dating shows of yesteryear, particularly the aggressive ones on MTV, like Next or Room Raiders, things like that.
Date My Mom.
Oh, my God.
Date My Mom. Yeah, we went down
a
dark rabbit hole. A lot of frosted tips and, like, popped collars. But are there any of those shows that you would have liked to be a part of, or is there one that's your favorite?
That you wish you could have cast.
Yes, that's the key part.
I mean, bring back Next. Yeah, bring back Next. That show was hilarious. And it was kind of like, you know, those Next shows. Ooh, Fifth Wheel. Do you remember that one? That was a really, really good one. That was like after Blind Date at like 2 a.m. I'm really showing my age. People are like feverishly, they're Googling Fifth Wheel right now.
Can you hear my keyboard in the background?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is such a clear pathway for unscripted TV right now, and shows like The Bachelor have kind of like kept that afloat, and I'm so thankful to that. So yeah, bring back Next, bring back Room Raiders. My cousin was on Room Raiders. She's like married with two kids now. It's insane.
Have her kids seen the episode, or are they too young?
Oh, they're two, yeah. One of them is like six and the other one's like three. But yeah, I hope she's got that on CD or DVD, ROM, whatever.
Home video.
Somewhere. Home video somewhere, yeah.
That's incredible. I think, what was it, Zac Efron was on an episode of Room Raiders. I just learned that the other day as well. So
your go-to trivia these days.
I didn't know that.
Me either. She's in good company. They've had a great cast.
So great.
Alex, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today and giving us a little insight to, you know, behind the scenes, things that we don't get to experience on our television every week.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. I am obsessed with reality TV and Unscripted, and so to do it as my job is like the best thing ever, and so to talk about it with you guys is even better. So I super appreciate you having me.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much. All right. Well, that was Alex. Thank you so much for listening. We will be recording all through the Bachelor hiatus and picking back up again when Listen to Your Heart starts on...
We don't know when it starts.
Ooh, April 13th? That sounds right.
Yeah, I trust Shay with my life. I'm like, yes, April 13th. Perfect.
I don't even know if that's
Listen
a Monday.
Listen to Your Heart, you know, the Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise. We're going to keep this podcast going. And to do that, we need you to go in, like, listen, subscribe, leave a nice rating. Say nice things, you know, good karma. We love to give it. We love to get it back. So make sure that you guys are out there showing the love. We love hearing from you. Any questions, concerns, feel free to email us at batch@fansided.com. We'll keep up our mailbag and we're going to keep the Can I Steal You for a Second podcast going well beyond Peter season. We've loved watching along with you guys all season and we hope that you continue to listen along with us. We'll talk to you guys soon.